WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Hurricane Idalia did not stay long over Florida, but it did hit it hard on landfall, flooding roadways, sending residents running for higher ground. Governor Ron DeSantis.
We clearly have significant damage throughout the Big Bend region, but the response has been swift and people are getting help.
With more from Crystal River, Florida, correspondent Omar Villafranca.
The eye came ashore near Keaton Beach, which was nearly washed away by an 8-foot wall of water. Taylor County, along the state's Big Bend, bore the brunt of the storm. The town of Perry took a direct hit. Trees were ripped down, homes and businesses damaged or destroyed.
At one point, an estimated 500,000 people were without power in Florida and parts of Georgia, too. Now a tropical storm, Idalia, is still over parts of the Carolinas. On tonight's Health Watch, researchers at Stanford University report finding genetic links between Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Their research involving huge numbers of patients with both dreaded diseases. Professor Emmanuel Mignot, one of the senior authors of the study.
I believe that it shows that the immune system is not only important to protect against infection, but also can be very important to protect ourselves against damaging things that happen in our brain.
Well, do not quote the Shakespearean question of to be or not to be anywhere near Toronto just now.
Police in Canada had to warn drivers to keep their windows up after a truck spilled crates carrying 5 million bees in Burlington, Ontario. They called about half a dozen beekeepers in for backup, and it took hours to get the little buzzers back in their boxes. The beekeepers did report getting stung a bit, but no one had to be hospitalized.
Correspondent Monica Ricks. Thieves took some pretty extreme measures to steal an ATM in Washington State using a stolen truck to get through a storefront.
A truck ramming a Linwood shop to steal an ATM, caught on camera at One Stop Market.
The video showed young guys that clearly were not aware of how heavy an ATM machine was.
Mike Novak was the shop's first customer Tuesday morning. He's seen the video, which ultimately shows the thieves hoisting the ATM into a pickup.
KIRO-TV's Ranji Sinha. A U.S. State Department warning to Americans in Haiti.
An embassy alert says given the current security situation and infrastructure challenges, Americans should leave Haiti as soon as possible, either by commercial flight or private transport. It says airlines are filling up fast.
Correspondent Cammie McCormick. Electric car maker Tesla is letting some drivers use its autopilot driver assist system for pretty extended periods without making them put their hands on the steering wheel. Safety regulators do have concerns. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got Dominic here with me in Madison, WMDX, Mad Radio Solidarity Realty Studios. Welcome to it, Tom.
Hey, good to be back. Crudy as well. Nathan, thank you for your hard work. Our fair audience. I love being in Madison.
You know, it's going to be a whopper of a Wednesday edition. I thought about declaring it a working Wednesday edition. I've been working. Even you put in time at the office for a change. So glad to have all of you joining us. And we got a big show for you. In particular, the happy hour, our pal Bill Press coming back round. Man's been vacationing a lot this
Come
summer.
On, man. He deserves it.
He's got the life of Dominic. Bill Press, 505. You're going to want to stick around for that. But Dominic, let's start in our backyard, as we often do. Great state of Wisconsin. Couple of Badger boys. Did we mention big kickoff this Saturday, 2:30 p.m.? There's no longer a party. You're disinvited. Badger game still playing.
Terrible planning, Crudy.
It was absolutely terrible planning. Sorry to have broken yours and a few others' hearts. But, Dom, let's do politics in the intro. And let's start with a little piece. Our friend Jesse OPP Apoya, now with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Legal filing calls GOP move to remove Janet Protasiewicz, the Supreme Court justice, from the redistricting case, an effort to nullify the election. If they could, they would, Dom. Jesse reports as thus. A Republican effort to force Justice Janet Protasiewicz off the redistricting lawsuit is an effort to nullify the election she won in April, liberals argue in a new filing with the state Supreme Court. Republican senators named as defendants in the lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's electoral maps filed a motion last week requesting Protasiewicz, a former Milwaukee County judge, recuse herself from the case. Protasiewicz, who won the April election with an 11-point margin, that's freaking huge in Wisconsin, people, called the maps rigged during her campaign and said she would enjoy taking a fresh look at the gerrymandering question. Now, Republicans argue that between those comments and the millions of dollars the Democratic Party of Wisconsin spent in support of Protasiewicz's campaign, she cannot act on the dispute impartially. And here's their quote, Tom. Because she has prejudged the case. Prejudged! And not the way they want it to go. What is she prejudged?
She called the maps rigged.
So, what is the ruling?
Well, we don't know what the ruling is yet.
Exactly. At the very least, those statements create the appearance that she cannot act impartially.
Well, you can't. Oh, this is so
looks
rich.
Bad.
This rich coming from the Republicans.
Lawyers for the GOP senators argued Protasiewicz has said she would recuse herself from cases brought by or against the state Democratic Party. I'm not even clear I would do that. I'd go case by case, kind of like Prosser did. There are two redistricting lawsuits before the court, neither of which involve the Democratic Party. Madam, lawyers representing the voters, it is we the people who brought these cases, argued in response filed Tuesday that the GOP senators' arguments, let's just say, are without merit. The filing argues that Republicans filed the motion because they are unhappy with the April electoral result, which they could not prevent through gerrymandering.
Ironically enough, that's really kind of getting to the point. Jesse Poyen at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The filing notes that conservative justices who received financial support from Republican groups did not remove themselves from previous redistricting challenges heard by the state's high court. Referencing Protasiewicz's comments on the campaign trail, they argue, quote, there is no recognized basis to require recusal based on campaign remarks.
Or really under pretty much any circumstance.
The comments were well within the requirements of the Code of Judicial Conduct, they wrote. Lawyers also argued the voters on the case are not seeking to maximize an advantage for the Democratic Party, arguing ungerrymandering the maps favors voters, not parties. Respondents demand that Justice Protasiewicz recuse herself is not only unsupported by fact or law, it would be contrary to her duties as a sitting justice on the Supreme Court, they concluded. Respondents ask her to abdicate her responsibility to administer justice in this case and to just discharge her duties as a member of this court elected by the people of the state of Wisconsin. Granting respondents' motion would be a violation of her oath of office and would render meaningless Wisconsin voters' constitutional right to elect the justice of their choice. Protasiewicz, who was sworn in earlier this month, has pledged to rule impartially, regardless of having communicated personal beliefs during her campaign. The court is considering taking up two lawsuits filed directly with it, bypassing lower courts earlier this month after it flipped to liberal control. For the first time in years, the lawsuits seek to overturn maps drawn by Republican lawmakers and replace them ahead of the 2024 elections. Republican lawmakers have raised the prospect of impeaching Protasiewicz if she does not step away from the cases. It's up to Protasiewicz to decide whether to recuse. The court ruled in 2011 that justices cannot kick each other off cases for alleged bias. Another quote here, the majority decision written by former Chief Justice Patience Rogenczyk, Crudy's buddy, former Justices Prosser, Gableman, and current Chief Justice Annette Ziegler. Here's what they said. A majority of this court does not have the power to disqualify a judicial peer from performing the constitutional functions of a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice on a case-by-case basis.
Now, that's very ironic how karma keeps kicking their ass in this regard, right? First, it was the Fred Breen ruling and perhaps the Megan
and
Wolf.
Megan Wolf, the administrator of WEC.
Yesterday.
Yep. Yes.
But now this would be very ironic. The very same conservative justices that failed to recuse and then put a ruling out there saying it is super kosher that we failed to recuse.
It's totally fine.
And they never did really adopt any sort of recusal code as a Supreme Court, Tom.
Not then. They are, believe they are now with the liberals on the bench.
So I would have a one-word answer. No!
No, no.
Would maybe you? A two-word answer.
Hell no!
Exactly. Throw the hell no in there. Why would she? Why would she? Janet Protasiewicz, Justice Protasiewicz, I voted for you because I want you on that court. I need you on that wall. I want your vote on this decision. It is the least democratic thing to have happened to the great state of Wisconsin. I've lived here essentially my whole life. I love this state. but it is not representative of the will of Wisconsin voters any longer. And I don't say that just because I'm stuck in the legislative minority. So are the voters, all of them.
Yep.
Conservative voters, Republican voters, they're getting scroogied by this as well. Because the will of theirs is not being done. And if you don't, you know, if you don't meet the request of the caucus leader, in this case, Boss Voss, well, he'll have your ass primaried.
Primaried to the right. And that's one of the unintended consequences, I'll call it, of this kind of gerrymandering, because it encourages extremism on the political phrase. If you're a Republican and you're locked into your district, well, the only way you're going to get, you know, primaried is if you're not towing the line. And Robin Voss, well, hell, Dale Schultz, we're going to come after you.
Did we also note, under the newly changed campaign finance laws here in the state of Wisconsin, the parties think the Democratic Party that supported Janet Protasiewicz, and also like the campaign committees, the assembly, Republican Assembly Campaign Committee, they're pretty unfettered. So not only does Robin Voss, you know, have the threat, he's got the checkbook. He's got the money, the clout to put behind his political enemies from his side of the aisle that don't toe the line. This ain't good for democracy.
No,
man.
Absolutely. It's terrible. It's not democracy. Representative. And it keeps, obviously, it just worked for the Republicans to this point. It keeps them with a lock on power. But I would suggest that perhaps it's not great for representation. That's not great for self-governance. It's not great for the Republican Party. And it's certainly not fair to the Democrats or any other party.
It is not. 844-967-2789. You're hiding my little icon on the screen there. You got to move your screen. Let's take Mark from the sack. First one to join today. Mark, should Protasiewicz recuse?
Hey, Mark.
Absolutely not. There's nothing that require in law that requires her to do it. And from Matt Flynn's reading of what the statute actually says, they have no basis for impeaching Judge Protasiewicz.
Who's this Matt guy you speak of?
And what do you mean basis? You don't need a basis. Hell, look what happened yesterday. Megan Wolf is not up for reappointment. There was a 3-0 ruling, right? The Dems did not vote.
Two-thirds of six. Three.
Right, man. That doesn't matter. They took it up yesterday. I get it. I get the language of the law, but that doesn't stop them. Mark,
but I think that as Matt Flynn was laying out, I think Judge Josh Call could come out and say you can't do this because it's against state law, and she should just since it's against state law, and if they're trying to appeal it to where does it end up? It ends up before the right. before the Supreme Court, there's nothing in law that says she has to recuse herself on a case that is talking about state law. I mean, it is just that you have to confront these Republicans wherever you see them. If
well, the fact that they even bring it up just goes to show you how antithetical their governance is to true democracy. You know what I mean? I mean, they're slowly losing power, man, little by little, and it's just bothering them so, so very much that they will go to these extremes to try to hang on to power. You're going to have to pry it out of their cold, politically dead hands.
So this one going out to you, Robin Voss, and Ron Johnson, and the Republicans, and your lawyers. No! No,
no,
she is not going to recuse.
No.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. We want you to join us on the phones today. We still got those Brewers tickets. Friday night, the Phillies coming to town. Brewers just lost. Heartbreaker. 3-2.
Stupid Cubs.
But we're still in first place, baby. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Still and always first place in your hearts.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Teachers learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies, but you may encounter a little patchy fog overnight. Light winds and temperatures by daybreak around 50 degrees. That fog should burn off by about mid-morning. Otherwise, sunny skies will top out close to 80 Thursday night, upper 50s. Right now, it's 51.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're always welcome to join us. Hell, we're giving some Brewers tickets away today for Saturday's game. Four tickets to the Friday night's game. Friday night. And the good news, if you've won tickets in August, hell, Friday's already September. You can win again. 844-967-2789.
Now you got to do courtesy of our flagships, which are...
Go ahead, Crudy. That's your part.
No, please.
WISS.
Yes.
Oshkosh.
Yes. Air Support.
Yes.
And the call signs. You listened to that station growing up.
I did, yes.
WISS.
Yeah.
1100 AM.
1100, okay.
Yeah. You sound like Earl
but
over there.
But back in the day, man.
98.3 FM.
It was the dial. And it wasn't even digital, you know, in the farm trucks. All they had was AM. So it was around 1,000. I don't remember what it was, man, but yes. Thank you, WISS and 92.
No, shut up. You stop now. 98.3, right, Oshkosh, yes. Air Support. And also, up in the Northwoods, we got the Big Q. 98.3, that is the Big Q. 100,000 watts of Brewers in the Northwoods. And also, WRCE Brewers from the center. Richland Center, that is. WRCE Richland Center, Wisconsin. The game's over today, but you can win some tickets right here for Friday night. The Philly Fanatics come to town.
My notes here say four tickets. Is that still accurate?
Yeah.
All right.
Two pair. So we're going to have two winners.
We'll be back at 2-2.
And tell Nate, our fine screener, if you want the tickets, and Nate, you ask him, so we aren't wasting valuable showtime.
I mean, so valuable.
Dom, what are the prospects of Wisconsin Republicans impeaching Janet Protasiewicz? Now, here's before we get to, you know, the legalese, you know, Matt Flynn did already beat us there. Yeah. But here's the question. Will they have the temerity that will the Republicans seek to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, A, to take her out, or B, to just sideline her? But do you think they'll have the courage to do so?
I do not.
I think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. I know you are. What am I? What? I mean, do I think that obviously they've been talking about it? Do I think they have the moxie to threaten that? Obviously, this is what's happening. We're talking about it right now. Will they actually go through with the process? Will they have a vote to impeach? Will Janet Protasiewicz
in the assembly? Yes.
Will she not be on that case? Is that the question?
I am not at all clear that it will be taken out by the state senate, but does not have to be procedurally. And I'll give you a little of the insights here. Badger Project reporting on this. Fine work from Peter Cameron. But you don't actually have to successfully convict of crimes, because it's supposed to be driven by crimes or corruption in office. And their whole case is she won't recuse and we want her to, because she said something before she was in office, right? Which, so there is no standard for impeachment.
What I would also say, and no less egregious than anything Republicans have said or done on the U.S., I'm sorry, the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Well, let's read a little from the Badger Project's reporting, and we'll get back to the phones. Maybe you could win some Brewer tickets, courtesy of our flagship, whatever Dom said it was, 1100 AMWISS. Could language in the state's constitution allow Republicans to sideline the Wisconsin Supreme Court's new left-wing majority? Question mark. The left-leaning Janet Protasiewicz overwhelmingly won a seat to the court in the spring, giving liberals a majority there for the first time in over a decade. Years, it says. The court could decide on some major issues soon, like redistricting and abortion. How far would Republicans go to protect the political districts they drew that give them the maximum political advantage in the state legislature? Question mark. As far as they need to.
As far as they can.
They have controlled that body almost exclusively since 2011. The Constitution contains a wrinkle that might help them do that, but more importantly, might not let them get there in the first place. Before she even took her seat, at least one Republican floated the idea of impeaching and removing Protasiewicz. The GOP has needed simple majority in the state assembly and a supermajority in the state senate to do so, but is only allowed to impeach government officials for corrupt conduct in office or for crimes and misdemeanors, according to the Wisconsin Constitution. Would that prevent Robin Voss? No. That's not going to hold him up. Constitution, pshaw. On Righty Whitey Talk Radio down the dial in Warsaw, Dom, on August 11th, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the top Republican in the state, told the Whitey Righty host Meg Elfson, if there's any semblance of honor in the state Supreme Court left, you cannot have a person who runs for the court prejudging a case and being open about it. That's the part that bugs him. What? That she told the truth? And then acting on the case as if you're an impartial observer. Now, Dom, Protasiewicz referred to Wisconsin's political districts as rigged, and during a campaign debate then added she couldn't say how she would rule on any particular case. Good enough for me. No recusal.
Crudy, justices frequently refrain from commenting on issues their court could rule on in the future, but that line is blurred as Wisconsin Supreme Court has become more partisan and politicized. Justices also sometimes recuse themselves, i.e. refrain from ruling on cases where they have an interest. I think some of the Republicans had interest on cases they ruled on, like her husband's bank. But I continue. It is not at all clear that the legislature has the power to impeach a justice merely because of a disagreement over recusal, said Robert Yablon, an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Politics in Wisconsin has been contentious for a number of years, but going down the impeachment road would be a serious escalation of partisan conflict. He noted only one justice in the state has ever faced impeachment, back in 1853, and he was acquitted. Judicial impeachment is largely uncharted territory in Wisconsin. Yeah, so the Republicans, let's go down that road.
Just hasn't been tried yet.
They're not trying hard enough.
Well, I bet they do it.
They're not going to do it.
They're going to do it.
They're not going to do it.
Come back with us. 844-967-2789. The great impeachment debate. Will they or won't they? Hell yes, they will. Come back. 844-96-PARTY.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There has been significant damage in northern Florida as Hurricane Idalia came in with winds of 125 miles an hour. But the human toll, that is nowhere near last year's Hurricane Ian, says Governor Ron DeSantis.
The calls that they were getting were people saying, hey, you know, I've got 3 feet of water.
in my living room, I'm fine, but if you guys can come help. And so that's a different type of call than one where somebody is in imminent loss of life.
A potentially important research finding in the fight against two dreaded diseases, genetic links between them. Stanford University professor Manuel Mignot.
So we found unique protective factor against Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, which involves the immune system.
Near Toronto.
Bee crates fell off of a truck and 5 million of them buzzed around the Burlington area. Drivers were told to close their windows and pedestrians told to stay away. Some beekeepers showed up to help out.
Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes. 93.5,
The Tap.
At the jams, mother!
Big and tall, the political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of Wednesday. Who let you pick the music?
That was Nate, man. Well done, sir.
Welcome back to all. Real quick, before we jump back into the chances of the impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz, you shared with us the Twitter X, whatever they're called now, because they don't call Twitter Twitter anymore, and apparently they're not tweets anymore, they're X's.
Oh, God.
But the former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, in a desperate plea for relevance, wrapped himself in the Gadsden flag yesterday.
Yes, he did.
The Don't Tread on Me. We had that conversation. He must have been tuning in on 5:40 a.m., the Beast of the East, Tom. And he must have said, if they're against it,
I'm for it, baby.
Is he on the wrong side of every aspect of history every single time? Every time? I mean, Scott, really, every time you're on the wrong side of history. And it's just this desperate desire to be relevant.
That, what is the whole point of this all? Of course, because, you know, Scott Walker is the director of the Young
Adolphs
Young America's Foundation. I know, it's tough. This is perhaps what he thinks the kids are into, man. You know, I mean,
Gadsden flag.
It was a 12-year-old who got kicked out of school in Colorado for having the Gadsden flag in a backpack. So, and he's you know, he's relating to the 12-year-old kids, man. You know, the seventh graders and Scott Walker.
Why is it these Republicans like live their life seeking some one-off outrage that they can just like build some false narrative around? Get on Fox News, raise some money from the sheeple. I mean, it's really just outrage to outrage. And Scott Walker, you're already pulling down a decent salary. You know, well,
reporting says like $800,000 a year, man.
You got to be as well off as you ever imagined you'd be using other people's money. Right.
Well, he imagined it when he made those
an MC Hammer like campaign. Through Iowa? How do you spend $40 million in Iowa, man? Because
right. You're a mark. Everyone sees them coming. Yeah, I'll be happy to. You know what I would do if I were you, Scott Walker? You're going to this diner. I'd get a stage. I'd get some sound and lights. You know,
some Gadsden flags.
Some Gadsden flags. And
now they're going to cost extra because, you know, they have that Civil War pro-slavery connotation. So, you know, they're a little hard to come
by. But
we
can get you the older ones when they were really about the Revolutionary War and the Navy used them. But those are really expensive.
Going to cost extra. 844-967-2789. We'll get back to your thoughts. Impeachment of Protasiewicz. Will these Republicans have the you-know-what or no impeachment? Joe from Madison, what's your thought?
Hi, Joe.
I can't say, but I did want to throw into the mix here that an article that was written about Dan Kelly, who was the Republican opponent that, of course, Janet Protasiewicz faced. And
not much of an opponent. Can't spell. What is it, loser?
Without two L's.
There you go. At any rate, it was written by Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, March 30, 2023. So people can look it up if they wish. It quotes Dan Kelly when he was a private attorney back in 2012 when these laws, these gerrymandering laws came out. He said, quote, "It's a good map. It's a solid map." Continue. "It's constitutional." So there you are. It's a good map. It's a solid map. It's constitutional. End quote. He gave his opinion. Dan Kelly gave his opinion. You know, it doesn't say you have to recuse because you gave an opinion.
Right.
Doesn't say. So she has every right to sashay in there and be the person that we elected her to be.
Kelly actually technically served on the court as a Scott Walker appointment. I don't recall. I'd have to look through the math. I don't think he ever got a crack at the prior redistricting, but we should Google that.
Yeah, well, he's definitely stated what he said or what he felt about it. He felt it's constitutional. And, it's, you know, he never has rescinded that as far as I know. He's never said, oh, I've changed my mind or I'm open to, you know, a different look at it.
Yeah, and
he
of course,
stated what he thought.
And, of course, Joe, the question being, if this were reversed, if Kelly would have won this election and he stood up on the court and these were coming forward, would the Republicans be standing up and saying, Dan Kelly, you said this is constitutional and these maps are fine. You must recuse yourself. Do you think the Republicans would be going down that road then, Joe?
I think the chances are as slim as my winning any kind of Olympic medal or an Oscar or something along that line. So any rate, so he voiced his opinion. And this is a brouhaha out of thin air. The question is how tangled it's going to get before the rights of the voters, the will of the voters are respected. And Janet Protasiewicz is allowed to do the job we elected her to do. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
No, thank you, Joe. Appreciate your input. And I think that's one of the big unknowns. Certainly they will go down this path as we started now. But, you know, when the voters get wind and start getting, you know, a little mad about this, because, of course, the lawsuit's already filed, right? They're trying to nullify an election for what? Protasiewicz expressing an opinion, much like, as Joe just mentioned, Dan Kelly did on the very same topic. No, I get it. It's bluster. It's saber rattle, political saber rattling. I don't think they have the temerity, the backbone to go through with it, because they will be lambasted by the Wisconsin voters.
Well, Dan Kelly was on the Wisconsin Supreme Court as an appointee of Scott Walker, if you'll recall, Dom. But he also served as the president of the Milwaukee Lawyers Chapter of, wait for it, the Federalist Society. You know, that's something of a tell. And let's not forget, same basic time frame, March of 2023, earlier this year, about a week before the election, Dan Kelly went on Mark Belling's show, Righty Whitey Talk Radio, Down the Dial. He plays out in Milwaukee in the afternoons. We are a better product, of course.
Of course.
But in case you missed it, in an interview with insurrectionist supporter David A. Clark Jr., fill it in for Belling, Dan Kelly revealed his true colors. Now, this came from the Protasiewicz's campaign, but they quote the Dan Kelly. And see if you can draw a distinction how Dan Kelly stays above the fray, quote unquote. Dan Kelly revealed his true colors and declared his commitment to advance an extreme right-wing agenda if he's elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Luckily, the voters saw through Dan Kelly. That didn't happen, Dom. But a little more. In the interview, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. asked Dan Kelly if he would be a trustworthy judge for right-wing voters and rule in favor of their stances on workers' rights, gerrymandering, and gun safety laws. You know, the important issues, Dom. Clark even took it a step further by slating right-wing supporters, stating right-wing supporters don't want to end up with another Brian Hagedorn. Dan Kelly reassured him, stating, "I don't think you'll have to worry about that with me." So he doesn't say it. He lets the host, the fill-in host, in this case.
You have to infer it, I guess, right?
Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., he lets him say it. You know, are you going to vote the correct way on these issues? Well, you don't have to worry about me. I'm no Brian Hagedorn.
Hey, I'm a friend of ours. Don't worry about it. Forget about it.
So he didn't say the maps are perfectly constitutional, and I think they're swell. He just said, I'll rule the correct way. You know the right way. I've been showing you exactly who I am. I'm a Federalist Society guy in Milwaukee. I'm the right kind of jurist. Your kind.
I'm your kind. Crudy, back to the reporting from the Wisconsin Project. Setting aside the debate of whether Protasiewicz's comment rises to the level of corrupt conduct in office, especially considering she made it before she was in office, Republicans have the numbers to impeach and remove Protasiewicz. But, pardon me, Governor Tony Evers could simply reappoint her or another person to the position, allowing the left to maintain their majority. However, the state constitution says this on the matter, quote, "No judicial officer shall exercise his office after he shall have been impeached until his acquittal." There's your point, Crudy.
Yes, that is where they're angling. That's the strategery part of it. It's not the actual conviction. It's the act that will sideline her.
Continuing on. So could the GOP impeach Protasiewicz in the state assembly, but take no action in the state senate just to keep her in legal limbo? Ed Miller, a political professor emeritus at UW-Stevens Point and a longtime watcher of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, said in an email that this seems correct. Such impeachment gamesmanship would be unprecedented, Yablon noted, and it's uncertain what would happen next. Quote, "The governor could conceivably assert that the legislature's actions have created a temporary vacancy on the court, allowing him to appoint an interim replacement. Or perhaps a court could conclude that the state constitution doesn't permit delay tactics and that the Senate's inaction could be treated as an acquittal. Protasiewicz could also just resign, freeing up the seat for Evers to reappoint," Miller said, "or a suit could be filed in federal court to let them sort it all out," he added. But Democrats would like to have the state's political maps adjusted as soon as possible, and the 2024 election is fast approaching. Delays could push redistricting changes to 2026. Left-wing Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is up for re-election in 2025, and right-wing Justice Rebecca Bradley is up for election in 2026. Miller also noted that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has failed to adopt a recusal rule and remembered that in 2017, the conservative majority on the court, which included current justices Ziegler and Bad Bradley, rejected an appeal from a group of retired judges to adopt such rules regarding cases brought by parties who had donated to the justices' campaign. The Wisconsin Democratic Party supported Protasiewicz with millions of dollars in her successful campaign and has much to gain from the redistricting lawsuits that have been filed in the state since she took office. So, yeah, but here's how you counter, right? She quits and gets reappointed. You know what I'm saying? Or she just, there's workarounds.
Jam her up in limbo.
Okay. So what? She resigns and he appoints somebody else.
So she is going to give up the position that she left the Milwaukee County Courts for. This is her job.
But you're talking to how does this work? Okay, she quits. Somebody else gets appointed. They resign. She gets reappointed. Boom. There's a workaround. I mean, you want to play games? Because that's exactly what they're doing. We can play games and nothing will impact this. It's a workaround. They're not going to do it because you can continue down this road and all they're going to do is alienate the voters. And what do the voters want? They want a Protasiewicz by 11 points, man.
Yeah, but the good news is they're so securely gerrymandered into their districts. If they can just hold off the efforts of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they never have to give up their grips on power, Dom, regardless of the will of the voter. That's the swell position they put themselves in. They're like ticks on a belly. You know, a dog's belly.
They're not going to do it.
No. We taking odds?
Straight up, baby. Tell me, do you really want to love me forever?
I believe.
Or am I stuck in a hit and run?
I believe. If they think procedurally, it's not the actual act of taking her out.
But you can get around the procedurally.
I'm less clear that they can get around the procedurally.
Okay, walk with me. Okay, she resigns. He appoints somebody else. Now what? Done. Can be done in a day. You know what I mean? There's your procedure. Good luck with that now. Now you just burned all your bridges with independence.
What if it goes to the federal courts and she is stuck in this limbo while the federal courts... And we all know that justice doesn't move very rapidly, Dom. So the federal courts have this tied up. And I think that's probably where this dispute
Well, then it goes back to the governor's position that the legislature's action created a temporary vacancy. Then he could appoint an interim replacement.
Well, that is what's speculated in the reporting here.
Yes.
But I'm less clear that that wouldn't then precipitate a lawsuit.
Well, of course there's going to be lawsuits, man.
Another impeachment action. Okay, so they impeach number two, right?
Based on what?
Well, they didn't have any. They had Protasiewicz in my assertion.
But they're claiming there is a thing. If someone else, and I don't agree with that, but that's what they claim. They're not going to have anything on anybody else. They're not going to have time. I mean, they can say it, they can do it, but really, that's all they got? That's their governance? Well, we lost, and now we're going to lose our gerrymandered maps. So we got to squeeze our grip tighter.
They're really just trying to delay beyond the 2024 election cycle.
Yeah.
You know, if they can grab power for two more years, they got power for two more years, man. They can do a lot of bad in the next 2 years. Right now, they got the same plan as Trump. Delay until after the 2024 election.
And go after your political opponents.
Isn't that what you want,
citizens of Wisconsin? That is your Wisconsin legislature, Republicans, working for you. They're doing it for you.
They impeached Trump twice. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. It's a whopper of a Wednesday edition when you join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state?
It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies, but you may encounter a little patchy fog overnight. Light winds and temperatures by daybreak around 50 degrees. That fog should burn off by about mid-morning. Otherwise, sunny skies will top out close to 80 Thursday night, upper 50s. Right now, it's 51.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, giving away some Brewers tickets for Friday night, 844-967-2789.
Our friend Lynn from Minneapolis texts in, if impeachment of Janet starts, can she resign and governor reappoint her, rinse and repeat? There seems to be some speculation in the Badger Project that that could be the case. I'm less clear that that wouldn't then precipitate other legal challenges, if you know what I'm saying. You can always be a part of this show. You can text us here, and there's lots of texters, Dom. And you can also call us at 844-967-2789. And don't forget, we got a couple of pair of Brewers tickets against the Philly Fanatics this Friday night. 7:10 first pitch, I believe.
Yes.
Here's one. Fire up the Voss toss. Is that like tossing Voss?
That was what his primary opponent did. They went into a field and got this device throwing watermelons, like a little effigy of Robin Voss.
Thanks for that reminder. Wes from Middleton. Matt from Germantown says they will threaten to impeach her so they can keep their base happy.
Right. Political moves there.
Yeah, the most important thing I understood from recent polling. Why do you support Donald Trump despite because of why? Because he fights. That was the attraction. He's a fighter. Not like in the literal sense. I mean, you get his ass punched, but I mean, you know, he fights. He says the fighty stuff.
Yeah, he says the things that I want to say but can't because of you woke, communist, liberal, progressive, Democrat voters. Won't let me say the N-word anymore. Yeah, he's my kind of guy.
Someone asked Dom what the Dems demand he recuse, but I'm not sure who him is in this one, so I apologize. Jeff from Shorewood says, I had a late court appearance. Didn't get home till the advocates came on, opened a bottle of wine. I love you, boys, but I simply cannot drink fast enough to stop crying about your topic so far. Dom, unfortunately, I agree with the boss man today. I think that's me, right?
Back to your last texter. Would the Dems do it? My position to Joe, our caller, was that if Dan Kelly won, and Dan Kelly, you know, during his run-up to the election was supportive of the current redistricting laws, would the Dems ask Kelly to recuse? My answer would be no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. And they wouldn't go to court. They don't have the ability. They don't have the majority, the supermajority, so they can't politically do it. They certainly wouldn't do it because Dan Kelly would not do it. And they look terrible to their voters. So, no, the Dems would not do it, given the situation that we have now, if Kelly would have won.
Jeff from Shorewood, I apologize. Tom did rudely interrupt the completion of the body.
Oh, he was still talking? Yeah. Man, voice to text must, Jeff?
A little bit more. He said, I agree with Crudy today, effectively. He said, the boss man. He likes to call me that. I sort of appreciate that, even though I know it's not true. But anyways, he says, is he wearing a suit again today to try and intimidate you? Very Vosk-esque. Last Wednesday in Milwaukee, I showed up in the bar in a suit, but that was a short-lived suit.
It was hot, man.
It was 100 degrees. I'd been wearing a suit since 5:30 a.m. and by 3:30, it was mostly a strip off the suit. No suit.
Had to wring it out.
Another Republican from the 2-6-2 WAUK listener says, another Republican should primary Robin Voss next election. Yes. Adam Steen. Gaining steam with Adam Steen.
He was close, man. A couple hundred votes. And that was with the Trump bump, man.
With the Trump bump. We, according to Lisa Joe from Madison, we mistakenly believe Republicans can be shamed or give two, let's just say, craps about hypocrisy as long as they have power. And this is how much this is how they maintain it.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't care.
All the things that the Republicans and the conservatives have claimed to believe in all this time was all BS, man. Trump added $8 trillion to the deficit. That's what Nikki Haley said. Sounds like a lot of money to me. It doesn't seem very fiscally conservative, if that's your bent. You know, the family values family. I mean, come on, man. That's all you got to say. There's no family values family with Donald Trump. Well, what are some of the other ones? Oh, well, the evangelicals, the religion. Donald Trump, you know, his favorite Bible verses is so very private to him. He just can't tell. He loves all the Bible verses. I mean,
I read them all.
They're all my favorite. There's no guideposts. There's no moral pinnings for these Republicans, especially when you got the little white line of power. They just want to snort
powder?
It up. Power. And snort it up and keep it. And when it can't breathe anymore, then they'll smoke it. That's how they behave around their power. No morals, man.
Power is a powerful drug. 844-967-2789.
Hell of a drug, man.
Joel from West Allis. Welcome, Joel. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joel.
Hey, I just wanted to say, so it was kind of refreshing during Porosiewicz's campaign when she actually answered the question about the redistricting. I mean, more often than not, people say, it's hypothetical and I won't answer it. I mean, people knew what they were voting for.
Right.
And that's just kind of a rare situation, you know. But I do think they'll try to impeach her. And I think regardless of what happens, it's just a stall tactic. I mean, they don't even need the end result of her being impeached. They just need to, like, get her off the bench long enough.
Yeah, they just need to block her from being able to rule on the important cases. And here's a question I would have, Joel. Is this simply about the gerrymander? And we know that that's the source of the power for Robin Voss and the legislative Republicans. They wouldn't have a 2/3 majority, certainly, without it. But Joel, there are other important cases like abortion. Part of the reason, the biggest part, I would say, why Protasewicz won by the margin she did was the fact that abortion is effectively illegal in the state of Wisconsin. We're under a tyrannical, and women are under a tyrannical. It doesn't affect my life a lot, except through my daughter and friends. But they're under an 1849 abortion ban, Joel. And if she sidelined, she'd also be sidelined from the abortion case.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, this is the opportunity that was presented to them. Like, she... Yeah. Talked about the gerrymandering, and that's probably the first thing to come up. So, whatever, if they thought like an abortion lawsuit would come up first, that would be what they would attack her on.
Do you believe in the Milwaukee Brewers and their ability to beat the Phillies on Friday night?
I do.
Excellent. That's the right answer, sir. Got a pair of tickets for you, Joel. Courtesy of our flagship. What is it, Don? WISS
1100 AM. Oshkosh, your support, Crudy.
98.3 FM.
Hey, Joel, stay on the line. Give Nate your info, and we will get you those tickets. Thanks for playing, man.
It's a whopper of a Wednesday edition. We got a whopper of a guest coming next. He is our pal, Bill Press. It's going to be a happy hour indeed. We'll give you something to believe in.
and give me something to believe in. Yeah.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is